This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, Pettycast time. Text in your petties. 713-572-4610. The Rockets are playing the Warriors in a playoff series. I can't imagine that there aren't things that our audience is feeling petty about. There's got to be a lot of petty out there for this series right now. With the
you
Rockets
know what I was
and the
petty
Warriors.
About? Just one quick little addition to the petty was Vlad Guerrero Jr. and his first at-bat last night. Assumed the walk. He thought he got a fourth ball thrown to him by Hunter Brown, where it was clearly a strike.
Yeah.
And he was indignant about it. He had thrown his bat and was walking and had to come back. Ended up lining out on that. But I was pretty petty about it. Like, whatever, rich guy.
Yeah, exactly. You got your $500 million, and now you can boss people around. Yeah.
But then Altuve, in his next at-bat, walked on pretty much the same pitch. So
Altuve. That's my explanation for that.
But you know what? Altuve wouldn't have started sprinting towards first, assuming that he had walked, and then turned back and scowled at the ump.
Right. All right, let's get to these here. 713-572-4610, if you want to text in. This first one here, it feels like this is one where the person you're about to listen to may be a little petty. Lane Kiffin was on the Pivot podcast. That's one I may go back and listen to the whole thing.
It's Lane really Kiffin. Good. He talks about his sobriety how he kind of, like, he just, it's really good.
You've listened to it. Okay, gotcha.
I knew Lane Kiffin when I was my first couple years in the league, he was a quality control guy.
Yeah.
And he came off exactly like Lane Kiffin.
Right.
I liked him. He was entertaining, but I was like, this guy will certainly never be the head coach of the Raiders sooner than anybody expects.
So Lane Kiffin was on Tom Coughlin's staff in Jacksonville, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, okay. He seemed
Lane
like very
Kiffin
opposite
was smarter
people.
Than everybody else.
Yeah.
In his eyes.
So here
no,
was,
but in a fun way. He was cool. I liked him.
I've grown more and more to like Lane Kiffin as he's gotten older. Here's Lane Kiffin on the Pivot podcast. Most of what you're going to hear is actually Channing Crowder just kind of in disbelief that Carson Beck, the former Georgia quarterback who left Georgia and transferred to Miami, who got $4 million plus in NIL money from Miami, which has caused a lot of controversy around college football. That's what reportedly was the trigger for Nico Iamaleava to seek $4 million from Tennessee was, hey, man, Carson Beck's getting $4 million plus.
And Andy has an eminently punchable face.
Eminently
as well.
Punchable.
Yeah.
Yes, a very punchable face. Here was the Pivot podcast on that. Lane Kiffin's a voice you'll hear at the end.
It's crazy, Coach, that you bring up the NFL structure with college now because they're in the contract. They're making money. They're making millions of dollars. I think down in Miami, what's Carson Beck?
4.3 million.
I think my biggest year was 6. He's a college kid. So, like, you bring up the comparison on what they're doing. They're really getting NFL money.
Miami gave him $4.3 million?
That's what the evaluation says.
Hey, did they watch this game against us?
You don't have to be great, Coach. Hey,
that's
Lane.
That's why we like you.
Lane,
you don't. I was trying not to go. You set me up.
Oh, yeah, he tried to kind of backtrack a little bit. Oh, I'm just joking. No, you're not. You're petty. It's good.
He's like, oh, damn it, I'm sober now.
I can't blame it on the alcohol.
That's like, yeah. There's a certain liberation you get from being a known boozer.
Boy.
Like, you're like, whatever.
People hate Carson Beck, man. Even his former.
Well, and he had, you know, did he have not one Lamborghini, but two? Or
was two. It just they one got, he had two that got stolen, I think.
He had two Lamborghinis.
Yeah.
Ben, I apologize for doing this on the fly. I just emailed you some audio. Is it possible at all for us? Just let me know if it's possible to play it right now or not.
Right,
and I'll explain what it is.
Yeah, well, explain what it is while he's trying to find it.
Okay. So this was on, I have no idea who any of these people are. This was on Kai Trump's podcast.
I will speak to
the Cavender twins.
The Cavender twins,
One of whom used to date Carson Beck. And and this is the twins themselves. They're both. I'm not going to try to explain which is which. The one who dated Carson Beck and the other one explaining why she broke up with Carson Beck.
Break out all the shots. So basically, we were supposed to we go to Nashville, right? And they want to Nashville. Pool break out all the shots.
Yeah. Like, on his phone like this high the whole time.
Does he have friends?
No. Nobody likes him.
And he wouldn't talk to me. He's like an ego.
He's like, he wanted people to stop and take a picture.
We were pulling people out of the bar, and I'd be embarrassed. Like, I'm sorry. I'd be very embarrassed. And I was like, oh my God, how are you? Anyhow, so I broke up with him. And then I broke up with him and all these cheating.
I know. I had no idea. I didn't break up with him because of cheating. I broke up with him because of who he was.
There you go. Then we can cut it off there. I broke up because of who he was.
Yeah.
He sounds like Bo Callahan.
Yeah, very much so.
Does he have any friends?
Much so. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That was the thing she was most emphatic about. Does he have any friends? No.
He's Bo Callahan with a speed bag for a face. Yes. Yes.
Sean, you should be proud of me. I edited that video heavily. You could not hear what they were saying. So I reduced the background noise and enhanced
the voices. I was impressed. Yeah, you could actually hear them talking a little bit. The other Cavender twin just got engaged to Jake Ferguson, the tight end on the Cowboys. Yeah, just, as an aside.
Who are the Cavender twins?
They play for the University of Miami basketball team.
Oh, them. Okay, yeah. Okay. All right, now I know them.
Yep.
All right.
Speaking of basketball... This is a petty cast, so let's get petty about Dallas being miserable, shall we? Here was Nico Harrison at his press conference yesterday, postseason press conference for the GM that traded Luka Doncic. This is Nico Harrison saying he didn't realize how beloved Luka was in Dallas.
I didn't know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level, but really the way we looked at it is, if you're putting a team on the floor that's Kyrie, Clay, PJ, Anthony Davis, and Lively, we feel that's a championship caliber team, and we would have been winning at a high level, and that would have quieted some of the outrage. And so, unfortunately, we weren't able to do that, so it just continued to, go on and on.
We didn't realize that the guy who's chronically injured might get injured.
And didn't realize how important the guy who just... took us to the NBA Finals the previous year, how popular he was. Yeah.
Mavericks fans, at least the literate ones that are on X, it was hilarious to see their responses. So many of them were, you didn't know how popular he was. Do you go to the games?
Yeah.
Every jersey in there is a Doncic jersey. I'll tell you what, the one that probably really stung was Doncic a few days ago in an interview saying that when he found out about the trade, He smashed his phone.
Yep.
His phone is still smashed.
Yeah, he showed it to the
interviewer. He's still using it. But he was genuinely, if you're a Mavericks fan, at least maybe you hear something oh, yeah, I was sick of that place anyway or anything. No, he was devastated emotionally that he was traded away.
Wanted to finish his career as a Maverick, he said. Yeah, here's one more from Nico Harrison. They held his feet to the fire yesterday at this press conference. Why shouldn't you be fired?
Well, one, I think I've done a really good job here, and I don't think I can be judged by the injuries this year. You have to judge from totality, from beginning to end. And so I think I have a really good working relationship with Patrick. I think you add in Rick. The leadership that we have is really elite. And you'll see next year when our team comes back, we're going to be competing for a championship.
Sure does sound elite, man. That sounds like that smacks of elite level leadership right there. The injuries.
It's funny, though, him bringing up the injuries. Honestly, with Anthony Davis, it's like Mike Trout. You look at his stats, and over the last, since 2021-22, 40 games, 56 games.
Yeah.
Played 76 games in 23-24, 42 games last year.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's, what did you expect?
Yeah,
you didn't expect injuries to be an issue?
If you trade for Anthony Davis, you lose your right to use injuries as an excuse for him, at least, yeah. for sure.
Remember Charles Barkley, who had defended him initially on the trade, it just flat out said yesterday, you got to stop talking.
Stop talking.
Just stop talking. You're not doing yourself any services.
Barkley looked into the camera. Barkley said, which camera am I looking into here? And he looked into the camera and was like, he was talking to Nico Harrison face to face. All right. Speaking of GMs, Chris Ballard in Indianapolis had his pre-draft press conference yesterday, and he laid out the Indianapolis QB situation. Keep in mind, they signed Daniel Jones to a one-year deal, but they're still sitting on Anthony Richardson, who was drafted fourth overall two seasons ago, two picks after C.J. Stroud. Here's Ballard laying out the Indianapolis QB situation.
That'll be a decision between, you know, Shane and, you know, Jim Bob, Mr. Irsay, I, and we'll all get together and who gives us our best chance to win. I think it'll be a great competition between both of them. Look, sometimes... I want to say this right. Like, sometimes you got to be bad before you can be good at a play in this game. Sometimes you got to struggle before you can be good. All right? And we got two guys that have had some really strong flashes. And they've had some bad moments, too. And that's okay. I think both of them will be better because of this. And I think the team will be better because of it. You know, competition brings out the best in everybody. And I think we'll see that. Whether, you know, to sit here a day before we even start the offseason and have a vision of how, you don't want to begin with an end in mind. We're not going to do that. It's like the draft. You don't want to begin with an end in mind. You got to let things play out the way they should and compete and who gives the team the best chance to win. If I'm a betting man, both of them, at some point, both of them will help us.
Okay. As a Texan fan, that should be music to your ears. At some point, both of these guys, I tell you one thing that D'Amico Ryans isn't saying, or Nick Caserio, is that at some point, C.J. Stroud and Davis Mills are both going to help us, are both going to play this season.
Oh, my gosh. You know, the best thing about Anthony Richardson and his infamous 50% completion percentage is that...
You're being generous.
It's heavily buoyed by just a couple of performances. So he's career 50.6. Last year, I can't remember what he finished at. I think he finished above 50% last year for the season. In 11 games, he finished above 50% three times.
Yeah.
There were only three games last year in which he completed more than 50% of his passes.
Yep.
He's an atrocious quarterback who does terrify me on any given Sunday.
Sure,
because he can destroy you with some of his circus throws and his good throws and his legs.
Yeah.
But he's been an abomination as a quarterback.
Yep. Yeah. The reason I put anything Colts and Ballard in the petty cast, that last line where he's like, you know, at some point, both of them, at that point, I'm like, yes, perfect. You have no idea who's going to start because they're both bad. And bringing out the best, competition brings out the best in guys. What's the best for Daniel Jones? And I think the best for either of those guys doesn't compete to win the division. But this is why the biggest reason why I put Ballard in the petty cast. Because this is how he reacted to securing the services of Leatu Letu last year with the 15th overall pick.
We had the best rusher in the draft.
You missed it. We got the best defensive player in the draft.
Right, who traditionally will go, in a good year, will go at like in the top three or so. Yeah. Letu did have a good season. And it was hard for me because I like Leatu Letu a lot.
Did he have a good season? Was he good this year?
Yeah, he did well.
Looks like a good
I don't know how many sacks he ended up with anything, but by and large, he played well.
As
we've seen, remember we went over this with Will Anderson? Yeah. Most of the premier pass rushers... Yeah. have single-digit sacks their first year. It's the second year where it really clicks for him.
Okay.
But he did some good things. It was hard for me to see him go to the cesspool that is the Colts.
Yep. Last one here in the Pettycast. This is Chris Sims with Mike Florio talking about Brock Purdy not being a top 10. Don't pay him. high money, 50, 60 million, because he is not a top 10 QB.
The league, nobody looks at Brock Purdy and thinks he's a top 10 quarterback in football. Nobody. Yeah. With Shanahan as his OC and the 49er All-Star team around the last few years, yeah, he can look pretty damn good. He can look top 10-ish. But we just saw last year when the 49er All-Star team fell apart and got injured, if 6-11 and we're talking about we're going to pay over $50 million a year, and that's what it seems like. So that's just, I think, you know, yeah, the 49ers are in a tough spot in their organization. They do have a quarterback. He is their franchise guy, but I don't think he's worth being paid one of the top 10 quarterbacks in football. But they got a guy, and they believe in him. So I don't know what to say, and I'm not mad at them for that either. But it's a tough situation, and yeah, I would not want to see them pay more than $45 million a year either if I was running the team or had said say in it.
I think Chris Sims is being petty there, Seth, that he never wound up in a situation like Brock Purdy. Where he plug and play.
Have easily been just like Brock Purdy.
I might have made $40 million if I get plugged into that situation. That's Sims. To me, that's Sims being petty right there.
They were a middle of the road offense last year, at the end of the year, and Brock Purdy was seventh in QBR.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's one of those guys who's almost penalized for overachieving to the point where people need to point out that he's not genuinely elite, so he's actually not that good at all.
Yep.
So I have a tendency to want to stick up for Brock Purdy, yet at the same time, I don't lump him in with the Lamar Jacksons, the Josh Allens, the Joe Burrows of the world.
No. And the contract has not gotten done yet, so we'll see. I mean, there's QBs worse than Brock Purdy who have gotten top of market. You know, Trevor Lawrence has not been as good as Brock Purdy. He got $55 million a year from the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, so we're going to wait and see what happens. Actually, an early candidate for Take a Mania this Friday was Puka Nacua. I was surprised. Puka Nacua talking on somebody else's team's quarterback's contract situation. This was Puka with Edelman talking about the Brock Purdy contract. Take a listen to this.
Brock Purdy, is he going to get a five?
I don't think so.
Think he's going to go with a four?
Pause, man. When he says, is he going to get a five, is he going to get a five in front of his average annual value?
Yeah, 50 million.
50
plus,
or 40 yeah. million. Yeah, go ahead.
Brock Purdy, is he going to get a five?
I don't think so.
You think he's going to go with a four? It's going to start with a four.
Yeah.
A high four?
No.
I think mid four. A 45?
I think so. I mean, I think
if he does that, that'd be smart for him and them.
Yeah. I mean, I think he seems like a smart guy. I think they have a chance to still be in their window. And I think if he goes for a five, the window closes.
Okay. That's the dumbest take ever. Like okay. So if he gets $45 million, the window stays open, but if he gets $50 million, the window closes.
Yeah, that's what
on
closes
the 49ers.
The
5 million.
Right, right.
You know how easy it is to find $5 million with the salary cap. Puka, stay in your lane, man.
I don't know, man. Puka was getting a little, he was drinking that podcast juice. That was probably around minute. It might have been. I'd have to go back and watch the interview and see if it was minute 45 or later.
Yeah.
Because minute 45 is when all of us.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sudden all the defenses and the barriers fall down and you forget that you're being recorded and you just start having conversations like you're with a buddy in his living room.
I saw the tweet about this. I'm like, man, Puka spoke on Brock Purdy's contract situation. Wow.
Yeah.
You just don't see that very often. I'm glad he did it because it made for fun content, but that is a horrific take. Puka, not a good campaign to become a general manager when you retire at 30.
Like, well, it's a bad take. It's a bad take as soon as he starts speaking on it as to what contract the guy should take.
Yeah.
Just keep other guys' business out of your mouth. Yes. You know, they'll handle it and you hope for the best for them, but just don't start becoming a fan of, it's like you're all of a sudden now you're a fan and you're trying to explain. Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. That was a petty cast.
I mean, obviously, it's not his team and everything. I just.
That's the biggest thing.
Now, if he had done it for a teammate, that would have been real bad.
He's talking about Stafford? Like, Stafford's looking to sign. That's his teammate. Yeah. Like Stafford. I think Matt probably needs to hang in the 40s and not. But Kelly Stafford would have shown up at his house.
What if he got up and started talking about Kelly and how intrusive she is with the team dynamics?
We got some good texts on some of the petties we just played. We'll hit those in the next segment. Also, are the Texans really just the 19th best roster in the NFL? Are they that far down? One expert says yes. We will discuss that coming up next. A little disrespect from The Athletic when it comes to the Houston Texans. This is Austin Mock, who I believe he's that guy in the Athletic set that has the computer that he feeds a lot of stuff into, and it spits out, you know, models on what the season could look like and things that. Yeah, he's a computer.
That type of a computer.
Yeah, the computer you put data into and it spits things out.
Yeah, that type. Okay. Yeah. He's got one of those.
As opposed to the ones with arms and legs and self-awareness called robots. Okay.
Yeah.
His is a desktop. But he has a model where he ranked all 32 NFL rosters from best to worst before the draft. This is before the draft, obviously. The model takes various metrics and assigns a value to each player that shows their impact on a single game. Positional value is vital in football, means that Saquon Barkley is a star running back, doesn't get as much love as, say, Myles Garrett, who is a star edge rusher. Edge rusher, more important and irreplaceable position than running back. So after summing up the values of each roster, he ranks them 1 through 32. And he ranks them, the point system is how many points a team is expected to win or lose by against an average NFL roster. Okay. Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, to be fair to him, it's not shade. It's just, these are what the numbers are.
Oh, so you take it however you want to.
It's about as objective as you can get. Yeah.
Could have just not written the article. Okay.
He said he did all this work and then saw the text. Like, wait a second. Texans are the 19th. Oh, what the hell? No.
I think I'm going to write about botany or something like that. Yeah. The Eagles are the most talented roster on here. They, just to give a perspective on what the range is, the Eagles are the most talented. They are viewed as being 6.7 points better than an average roster. So nearly a touchdown better than an average. Expected margin of victory against an average roster would be nearly a touchdown. Ravens second, Lions third. You get the idea. Chiefs fourth, Bills fifth. That's the top five. Buccaneers sixth, huh? But that's your top five. The top five teams are basically the Lions and all the teams that made it to the conference title games last year. The bottom of the league is the Titans, who are negative 5.2 points against an average NFL roster. I point that out because it's Tennessee and it's fun to point it out, but it gives you the range sort of what this looks like. The Texans are 19th on this list. They are viewed as a roster who is nearly a point worse than an average roster in the NFL.
Yeah.
Seth, you're looking at this just like I am here. The teams that are around the Texans, the three teams in front of the Texans are the Steelers, Dolphins, and Falcons. Two teams that didn't make the playoffs, and the Steelers who did but got blown out and knocked out. The three teams behind the Texans, directly behind them, are the Cardinals, the Colts, and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
This does not feel like the swamp of teams that I or a lot of Texan fans feel the Texans are in.
But I do think that it's probably a pretty accurate indication in terms of if you look at the way the Texans were last year and how guys played on offense compared to other good teams, they had a lot of drastically underperforming players on the offensive line, at tight end, largely that. We'll say that. So half of their offensive roster was underperforming. And they
lost two big receivers during the injury. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And even as they're looking at it on the roster right now, you take Stephon Diggs out of the equation. You take Tank Dell out of the equation.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks pretty decrepit. And a lot of that also has to do with you lost Laremy Tunsil that would have graded highly in the regards and whatever metrics sure. he's using there. So it actually, it makes sense. I think on paper, you can look at the team and say, well, on paper, yeah, they're a worse team than however they finished up a couple years ago when you subtract all those guys who performed well a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I think the part that maybe skews it a little bit is that on the defensive side of the ball, the cumulative effect of the players you did have was that you took the ball away a lot. You were second in interceptions. That tilts the tables a lot in terms of how competitive you are week in and week out.
Mm-hmm.
You played in a weaker division, that helps out a lot. I think that the cautionary tale with this jersey and with this ranking and where it really matters is that it really drives home the point that, yeah, you've got to get better play out of your offensive line and out of your tight ends this year. If not, you're not, as it wasn't a Super Bowl caliber offense last year. And if things remain the status quo, if they don't get better, it wouldn't be a Super Bowl caliber offense this year.
Yeah, I think if you're ranking the things they need to get better at to make this ranking better, I think you're spot on. It's offensive line, it's tight end. CJ needs to play better too. You know, I don't want him to go blameless in where the offense was. I make no mistake, if they had a better offensive line, I think CJ has a much better season last year. But there were some things that are probably reflected in what Austin Mock is using here to derive this 19th overall ranking that are on CJ having to just flat out play better, make throws that he was making in his rookie year, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so
I think with CJ, there's a kind of a, because you see this, if you look at the rankings and the teams that have the best rosters overall, okay, the Eagles, the Ravens, the Lions, the Chiefs, the Bills, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
There is kind of a synergistic effect, though, too, that when the team plays better, obviously you have individual players who are playing better, but then also some of your average players end up playing better than they actually are, mm-hmm. just because they're playing alongside of other people. So there's a little bit of a chicken and the egg element there. Yes, you need those good players to be a really good team, but the team that has good players and they play really well together, then those guys tend to be graded out individually better. So I look at this and you say, okay, they're the 19th best roster. It's all sandwiched right in there in that like middle 25 percentile or whatever it would be, realistically, when you look at the actual scores.
Yeah.
That I don't look at it. I look at it as a pretty accurate indication of, I think, how they played last year and where they are right now with the O-line rebuild.
Average football team. Like they're in the range where you say they're an average football team, according to this. They're less than a point below an average football team, which means, you know, like it's a coin flip, you know.
And they can't get away with playing offensively the way they did last year. So if I'm looking at it, you know, cold hard statistics,
yeah.
The huge X factor here, one of them is Nick Caley and whether he's a better offensive coordinator than Bobby Slowick.
Yep.
I mean, that's Bobby Slowick got fired last year. Like, you don't have to overthink it. D'Amico doesn't think that Bobby Slowick did a good job last year.
Right.
He thinks somebody else can do a better job. And just by virtue of having a better offensive coordinator in there, you get better individual performances out of all those guys. You don't look at the numbers and say that this is that guy's grade last year, and that's exactly who he is as a player.
Well, if we're going to be specific about this ranking that you and I are talking about, if you're tuning in, Seth and I are talking about a ranking the Athletic has, ranking the rosters heading into the NFL draft later this week. It's all based on the players. There's nothing. It's positional value, player value. There's no way to measure. There's no body of work for Nick Caley, let alone some numeric thing you can put into a computer that
right,
this
right.
out, you know?
But I guess what I'm saying is that this is where it gets tough with analytics in football, is that because everything is so interdependent that the success of the team also does highlight the individual players and they end up grading out better and everything. So I feel like it's a pretty accurate indication of what the team was last year.
Yeah.
They were a 500 plus football team for much of the season because the offense was so underperforming.
Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Looks like CJ isn't doing the draft day podcast again this year. I don't know if they podcasted that. I think what you're referring to is on Bleacher Report. They had their own NFL draft show. I think they streamed it. So,
well, yeah, podcast is a pretty generic term these days for if you stream it or whatever else, yeah.
Gotcha. Good. I say good. He was good on that last year. I don't think he said anything. I don't think there was anything on that podcast last year or that show, that stream, whatever we're calling it, that I felt like CJ said some things on the podcast at the Super Bowl where I'm like, or on the $1 million worth of game podcast where he's ranking the top five quarterbacks in the league and he's third. Like, yeah. Those are things where I'm like, all right, he might want to chill on that a little bit. But I love that with him and Micah last year because, one, any interplay with him and Micah is always very entertaining because CJ hates Micah's takes. But then the Ricky Pearsall dynamic when Pearsall got drafted by the 49ers at 31 and CJ like went into the fetal position on the couch because he really liked Ricky Pearsall,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, I think there's a part of with your quarterback where that's the player that you want to be able to most ignore the noise and ignore the distractions. So there is something with the quarterback position where you really don't want your quarterback contributing to the noise. And I think a lot of that is just maturing into a full-blown veteran NFL quarterback where you just kind of want to be above or completely distance yourself from a lot of the drama. Mm-hmm. You got to be that calm, cool, collected baseball mentality of, not going too high with the highs, not going too low with the lows. Though I feel like it's a justifiable concern of fans if their quarterback is too much out there in the discussion and everything. And I know a lot of people love to act like, this is a petty thing to be concerned about. Like, all right, get over yourself, Joe, you get things more than other people. I like a quarterback that's more just in his bunker, doing his own thing, concerned about football, and not as much concerned about just the fame side of it.
For being honest, it's probably less fun to do those podcasts when you didn't have as good a season as your rookie year also.
That's true.
It's more fun to go talk about how awesome you were the year before than a year where people are like, what happened last year?
Oh, no. And there were a lot of people, too. I think, in the national media, I think there's a lot of people that are kind of just, they kind of want their old takes about how dominant CJ was going to be last year to kind of recede and not have to address it. They still feel highly about CJ Stroud, but they're kind of in wait and see mode.
Where's Washington in the rankings? Somebody's asking. They are tied for eighth with the Los Angeles Rams. So they're fairly high up there, which is honestly, that might have been in the range where the Texans were coming off of CJ's rookie year,
Right.
The Commanders are kind of the Texans from 2 years ago.
Well, and honestly, what I'm trying to say here is that because obviously I'm a Texans fan and I want the Texans to be ranked high in everything, I'm not trying to diminish it. I 100% agree and see why they are where they are, but rankings like this I also take with a huge grain of salt because it's amazing when you look at one player on a bad team and how poorly he's graded simply by going to a new team. All of a sudden he's graded much better, yes, because his flaws don't have as many opportunities to be exposed. So there's a lot of individual players on. I said this all last year about the Texans offensive line. Those guys individually had better football in them, but the way in which they were being coached and how they were functioning as a unit made every single one of them look like the worst version of himself. That's why I still have a restrained optimism about guys like Juice Scruggs and Jarrett Patterson and all those other young guys.
Cam Smith was on Sunday Night Baseball. He sat down with Eduardo Perez, and this was cool to hear. A young player on the Astros, what his view of going to the Astros was and what the biggest adjustment is to playing right field instead of third base. We'll hear from Cam Smith on the heels of a 7-0 Astros win last night against Toronto. We'll do that coming up next. We'll hear from Cam Smith in just a minute on what it feels like to play for the Astros. This is from the interview he did with Eduardo Perez on Sunday Night Baseball. Quick news item here. Well, this is actually, I'm looking at it. It's right below a bunch of tweets that I have that are recent tweets, and then this is from Adam Schefter. I guess this is yesterday. I just didn't see it. That the Titans have informed Cam Ward that they're going to take him with the first overall pick. So, I had not seen that yesterday. I just noticed and it said, that was yesterday that got put out there. But welcome to the AFC South, Cam Ward. We will see you twice next year. Neither time wearing an Oiler uniform, but look forward to smashing your face in the dirt two times for each of the next handful of years, Cam Ward. Welcome to the AFC South.
I am, now that does honestly, I've told you before, I get a little bit nervous about that because I think Cam Ward, he is just like as it is with Anthony Richardson, but Cam Ward's a much more refined quarterback than Anthony Richardson was. But whether he's good or bad, for the season, on any given Sunday, he's got some really elite skills and traits that could really do you in. If he has one of his good rookie games, just like it was. A different type of player than Vince Young, but Vince Young had some great moments his rookie season. Mm-hmm. So whether Cam Ward works out as a quarterback or not, that first year especially, where you don't know exactly how they're going to use him and what he's good at and what he isn't, he can really hurt you with his arm. Yeah, he can tear you apart.
Will Levis is still on that team. You know, that's I wonder what he's thinking right now.
Disrespect Will Levis faces.
Yeah, take it, pack it away, and put that chip on your shoulder, buddy.
I won't have to watch it. That's the one thing about playing in that damn division is twice a year I had to see all those mayonnaise commercials during the Titans.
Yeah,
games.
Man. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Hellman's is now like putting their hand up to their face like this, not making eye contact with Will Levis. Like
Somebody got fired at that ad agency.
Yeah.
Or at Hellman's.
Yeah.
For however much money they paid Will Levis.
Good for Will Levis getting an advertising bag for having a weird habit of putting mayonnaise in your coffee. That's how he got the gig, you know, putting mayo in his coffee.
They could have spent that money on Alamalea and maybe he'd still be there.
That's right. Maybe
he'd still be in the state of Tennessee.
Yep. Cam Smith, what does it feel like to play for the Houston Astros?
How cool is this that you're wearing a Houston Astro uniform in what is last year at this time, you were getting ready for a game at Dick Houser Stadium?
Yeah, I get to represent a historic organization every single day, putting on this hat and this uniform. It's so fun the way they play and it makes me excited, honestly. It gives me that burning desire to keep showing up to the field every day.
For Cam Smith's whole life, virtually, his baseball-watching life, they have been kind of an historic organization, you know?
Yeah, I had that realization, too.
Yeah.
That when he says historic, you still think of, like, well, I mean, you know,
Dodgers, Yankees.
Older than the other expansion teams. Yeah. They were called the Colt 45s at one point. Cool. Yeah, historic. But, yeah, for his... Since he's probably really been paying attention to baseball, the Astros have been one of the major teams in the Major League
Baseball.
And
you're their right fielder, buddy. Yeah. Absolutely. This was funny. On the adjustment, this is Cam Smith sitting down with Eduardo Perez of ESPN on the dynamic of moving from third base, moving from the infield to right field.
I'm a little anxious out there. Like, I want to be all up in the action. Like, I feel... like I'm missing out sometimes because I'm lonely out there. Like I'm talking to myself for the first time ever. So it's like I want to be involved. But at the end of the day, like I'm pretty much involved in every play, whether I'm backing up first base. You know, we get a runner and a rundown. I'm going to a base. There's always somewhere to be. But I'm just so used to like the hot corner and being right in it.
He loves rundowns because he gets to talk to somebody. Ooh, yeah, I got to run in and back up third base or back up first base on this rundown. Yes.
That's you know what, that is a big adjustment. And I remember there when he was first playing at spring training, I can't remember who was playing shortstop that day, but then it was him just asking the shortstop exactly where he should be lining up and everything and all the adjustments he have to make as an infielder in the major leagues. I wonder at some point, you know, in the future, you might, you know, typically the move is from the infield to the outfield, but he might make the move back to third base. Pena was mic'd up in that game on Sunday Night Baseball too, and he had some really good little tidbits. But everything Cam Smith has done so far, including even on his errors, he makes up for it so much with some of the spectacular plays he's already made in his first time playing in right field. It has the makings to be a really fun summer, man.
Yeah, no, it does. I'm bullish on him in right field. I heard that audio yesterday. It was with the guys on In the Loop with Reggie and John, Reggie Atitula and John Lopez, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every day here on Sports Radio 610. And Lopez made the point, which I thought was very funny, is, you know, Cam Smith is a guy who's lonely out there in right field because he loves being plugged in and talking to the guys and being engaged. Lopez said something along the lines of, that's why right field was perfect for Kyle Tucker. Like Tucker's just out there, you know, just in his own little world.
Yeah.
Hanging out, chilling and playing right field. No big deal.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. How does Cam Smith occupy himself in right field? Singing.
What does talking like yourself sound like if I had you mic'd up?
Honestly, I like to sing. I like to sing to myself. I like to sing songs just to stay loose, honestly.
I have to go there now.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Bob Marley. I like Redemption song.
Give it to me a little bit. We're singing. What are we singing right here?
I can't sing it for you, but that's the song I'm singing.
Okay.
Missed opportunity, man. Missed opportunity.
You know what? I was watching a video by a neurologist the other day, or a neuroscientist, who was talking about getting into a flow state,
mm-hmm.
and that one of the things they found is that singing a song to yourself is actually a really good way to kind of get into that mode where you're not thinking and you can kind of go into automatic if it's a song you're really familiar with. So that's a good strategy by Cam Smith that he just came up with because he was bored, but maybe it ends up being the more than just defeating the boredom.
That's weird. Because I have a song in my head every day. And I try to get it out of my head. Like, I just can't stop singing it to myself.
Well, it's different if you're trying to actually focus on something mental or something versus if you're out, when you're out on the mountain bike trail.
Yeah,
Sean,
yeah.
And, something really challenging and you just want to get into that mode where you're just going. I know you're out there at Memorial Park and you're just pounding around, jumping over roots and everything. Yeah. You just sing a little Bob Marley while you do it.
A little Bob Marley.
See if it feels any different.
Yeah. I should try it. I'll try that.
It's good for when you're nervous, too.
Yeah. I can see that.
Just sing a little song to yourself.
I can totally see that. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Where is Dallas in that ranking that you guys just read from The Athletic, the one that had the Texans 19th best roster, according to analytics? The Cowboys are 15th on the list. They're a little bit ahead of the Texans. Cowboys have good players on their team. I wasn't surprised. Look, when you're 19th, you're fairly far down the list. There's going to be teams above you that you feel like we're better. We beat that team by 24 last year. What's going on?
Honestly, and I regret even sending this to you because it's like there's so much about this graphic and this chart that doesn't make sense. I would not. Basically, it lumps the Texans in with all of the teams that are just in the average roster category right now. Like I was trying to do a standard deviation calculator earlier, and I screwed it up. Which it was already. Even me admitting to that has gotten way too nerdy already. It's that by and large, the offensive line and the tight ends underperformed so drastically last year that they deserve this ranking where they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're lifted up by a lot of the defensive performances and by Nico Collins and what have you. But because the offense was really just in the second half of the season, they were a bad offense.
Yeah.
That individual players graded out really poorly. But a lot of these things, it's because football is such an interconnected sport. It's the fact that they're 19th here doesn't feel like it's a devastatingly bad ranking or what have you. Like they're minus 0.8 points per game based on the roster. You go to the bad teams and it's minus 3 points, minus 4 points, minus 5 points.
Yeah, it juts out pretty quickly after them. Yeah.
They're just the Texans are basically lumped in with a bunch of other teams that are 0.1 this way or 0.1 that way.
Yeah, if this is where they are this coming season, the fan base is going to be wildly disappointed, I think. And that's with all three of the other AFC South teams being below them on this. I think that's the other thing that probably should be pointed out is there, even as where they are 19th on this list, all three AFC South teams are still below them on this thing, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's a bad division.
It's a bad division.
You always get that boost up. But I think really for me, looking at that ranking, a lot of it simply has to do with if you take the exact same team last year, if you have a better offensive coordinator, then guess what? All of those individual guys are ranked higher on their metrics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a much better roster based on just having a better offensive coordinator.
Yep.
That's why it's you can't look at these player ratings that they use as the be-all, end-all. That's some kind of tattoo or a brand that they have on them.
Yep. Text message, Sean, I'm the same way. Sometimes a song stays in my head for weeks. I know, it's weird. Goodbyes by Post Malone. I can't get it out of my head the last couple days, man. Can't get it out
of my head.
What's
that sound like? I don't know that song.
It's got a lot of curse words in it. You don't want me singing that song, I don't think.
I don't know who any singer is anymore anywhere. There's songs that come on that I enjoy and that's it. I don't know.
I barely
know who these Cavender twins are. I know that's not music, but
Biggest thing for me is I find a song that I like. And then I just play that song, and then I let Apple Music do the rest. They algorithm my way into several more songs that are in the genre, and that's how I find some new songs that I like.
So, right.
Yeah, yeah. It's
take
it's
over, big machine.
That's right, man. I'm here for it. It's easy. All right. Pain and penalty.
Yeah, I let the algorithm run my other side. I've been on TikTok a little bit lately, and I never realized how much I need this mouth tape. But the deals are incredible.
Yeah, buy it.
For this
man.
Thing that I didn't even know I needed.
Yeah.
But every other TikTok that comes on my timeline is how I need this mouth tape.
Yes.
So that I breathe through my nose when I'm sleeping.
Hello. Buy it. Yes.
Yeah.
All right,
well, they've got incredible deals right now,
right?
According to TikTok.
Stop yammering and go buy it, all right?
I can get a month's supply for that?
Yes.
Oh,
and that's okay. Not all. Usually they'll throw other things in, too. All right, D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday. He was asked about a topic that Nick Caserio was asked about. Are they in lockstep on this very important thing about the NFL draft? That is coming up next.